chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have to tell you, there are some scripture passages that when I read them just before I preach them, I think I should just stop. That says it all. This felt like one of those passages. The kind that I think says it all, and anything I might say would be unnecessary extra noise. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. What more can I say? Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Really, what more can I say? But, yeah, maybe saying a little would be helpful right now to some. James was calling out the behavior of Christians in his time who were dismissive of the poor and who favored the rich. They treated rich people gently, carefully, but the poor they treated harshly, unjustly. Respect was readily given to some, either grudgingly or not at all to others. And the different treatment of the some and of the others was based entirely on how wealthy they appeared to be. This is so wrong, says James. It just isn't right. And the reason why it's not right for James is because of the gospel. Jesus reigns in glory. He does. Not the powerful of this world, not the wealthy, not the successful, not the smart. And he, the Lord Jesus, first blessed and caused faith to arise in the hearts of the poor, the powerless, the outcasts, the losers. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? This is so wrong, says James. It just isn't right. This merciless treatment of some and this fawning treatment of others based simply on their random life circumstances. You cannot, James tells his friends, You cannot really believe in Jesus, who has shown you great mercy, and have no mercy toward others. You cannot, James tells his friends, really possess the Christian faith. You cannot possess Christian faith if you have little inclination to be merciful to those who don't rise to your socioeconomic standards. This is so wrong, says James. It just isn't right. This servility toward the powerful and this harshness toward the powerless. It is rooted, says James, in a poor understanding of faith. True Christian faith isn't just believing the right things about Jesus. It's not just having the right theological ideas. There's got to be action as well. Action inspired and compelled by a heart that believes in Christ's mercy. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? Or, as is often asked today, what good are thoughts and prayers when there is no action to relieve the suffering for which thoughts and prayers are needed? James seems to be telling his friends, his long-ago friends, those Christians from long ago, those who first read his letter, that these three must be joined together: mercy, faith, and action. Do you think he might be telling us the same thing? When it comes to Scripture, including and maybe especially this Scripture passage, I know that there's no one single way that we'll all hear these words. Some may hear these words and be encouraged. Some may be convicted. Some may be angered. Some may be confused. Some may not hear them at all. To some, the meaning of this Bible passage may be obvious, and to others, it may be far from obvious. And even for all those for whom it is obvious, its obviousness may not be one thing but many, depending on the person for whom it is obvious. It's not that the way I hear these words and respond to them, my interpretation, what I hear in it, see in it, get out of it, is the right way, the only way. Yet as strange and difficult and troubling as this strange and difficult and troubled thing we call preaching surely is, I want to hope, I need to hope, that it is still right for me to reflect on Scripture from a pulpit, to share with you how we might understand Scripture, how we might respond to it, how God may be speaking to us in this very moment, how God's love for us in Jesus Christ might be apprehended, embraced, lived here and now. And it is love that fills these verses. The love of Jesus Christ for us forgiven sinners. It is love, even as much of what we find in them is direct and challenging. The good news of Jesus Christ is the very reason why this passage is, in spots, so harsh. Because it calls us to accept that believing in Jesus Christ is a deep thing, an active thing, something that demands us to be on the outside what we are on the inside, that warns us against dividing body from soul, believing from doing, right faith from good works, evangelism from social justice, worship from mission, theology from ethics, Sunday morning from the rest of the week. so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is what James calls us, not just his friends 2,000 years ago, calls us to accept. And we love that. Well, actually, I think we kind of hate that. We don't like being told that we must be on the outside what we are on the inside, as if we are not. We don't like being told that our actions must match our beliefs, as if they do not. We don't like being the ones being told that. This, we think, is for other people. Not us people, us good people, us nice people, us Christian people. We hate feeling the discomfort of having it pointed out that we often do not live with such integrity. We do not live as those whose actions match their professed beliefs. We are just Christians in name only, perhaps. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. I find a plea for integrity in these words. I hear a call for us to live our Christian lives as an integral whole and to believe in Christ with integrity, an integrity that aims for the unity of mercy, faith, and action. But having such integrity is not easy. Living out a unity of mercy, faith, and action is really, really hard. And many people don't even bother. As G.K. Chesterton famously said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. I am wanting all of us to try. I want us to try to live the unity of mercy, faith, and action that honors the Lord Jesus. But it is difficult. Why is it difficult? Because you have to look at yourself. Deep inside yourself, at your motives, your desires, your fears. And that is often ugly, so ugly. Many people can't bring themselves to look, so painful it is for them. It shocks them, it repulses them. They'd rather look anywhere else but inside themselves. I'm grateful to my friend Chuck DeGroat for letting me and others know about this. I was on Twitter. This statement by John Flavel, a 17th century pastor. There are some men and women who have lived 40 or 50 years in the world and have had scarcely 1 hour's discourse with their hearts all the while. Why is it difficult? Why is it hard to achieve a lived unity of mercy, faith, and action that honors the Lord Jesus? It's because you have to pray. You have to pray. You have to pray. And prayer is paradoxically among the most natural things for us to do and also the most difficult. We are easily distracted from prayer. We feel awkward in prayer. We have 1,001 excuses for not praying. When we do pray, speaking for a friend, we find 1,001 unwanted thoughts coming to mind. and yet without simply spending time intentionally in the presence of God, seeking God's face, desiring God's will, listening for God, being open to God, acknowledging God's mercy and your need for it, it is unlikely that you can be whole, unlikely that your heart will be made more merciful, more faithful, more active. Why is it difficult? Why is it hard to have this Christ-honoring integrity of mercy, faith, and action? Well, it's hard because you have to take action. You have to do things that are merciful. And that can be scary. That can be risky. That can be unpleasant. You might be rejected. You might be hurt. It could cost you or even wound you. But to put your faith in action and do something out of mercy for someone else because your faith in Christ's own mercy, because of your faith in Christ's own mercy toward you, well, that brings honor to Christ. And it carries with it great joy. This is all hard. But not so hard that it's impossible. Because Christ is merciful. Christ is faithful. Christ is active in our hearts, in our lives, in our days, in our nights, in our world. May Christ Jesus make us strong in mercy, tender in faith, and humble in action. Praise be to Christ. Please pray with me. Loving God, help us to be people of integrity. Help us to be, as those who have faith in Christ, help us to be merciful and active with that faith. Help us to see the needs and the hurts around us and to meet them. Help us to be attentive to our own needs and hurts so that we are not tripped up by them, so that we go to you for aid. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.